Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
How can you turn blue balls into the fuel to achieve greater success in your life? Is erectile dysfunction really about your junk? Or are men just not turned on by their partners? And how can sex be a spiritual practice without becoming some woo-woo new age ritual? We're back with Dr. Shondor Gardos as he continues to dispel myths about men and their sexuality.
So I think there's a lot of repression, and as we repress, we get out of touch with ourselves. And men cut off from their own sense of sexuality. And so, just as men often cut off from their emotions, where most men, you ask them, what are you feeling? It's like going through a deep, dark fog. Like, I kind of feel not good. Are you angry? Are you sad? Yeah, something like that.
Right.
You know, I think men's sexuality becomes like that, too. Like, what turns you on? Women. It's like it's all foggy and hazy.
Yeah. I've had my own personal experiences around kind of liberating my desire. And it went from being very polarized, like desire bad, you know, stuffing it good, to desire good, but have skillful means with it. So
yes.
do you concur with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the thing is then skillful means. So what can a guy do to have skillful means with his desire?
Well, I think that's the never-ending story of our lives. I mean, it's like saying, how do you become a great artist? I mean, do you ever get to a point where you are a great artist and you're done?
Got it.
I think it's a never-ending unfolding and unraveling and learning. And I think the best way to do that is to be willing to really fuck up.
Yeah.
That know that you are going to screw up royally.
Mm-hmm.
And not judge yourself because of that.
Uh-huh. So what does it look like? What does it look like for a guy to own his desire? Because I'm imagining some guy goes to a club and he's like, well, wow, I really want to put my cock up against this chick's ass while she's dancing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not really owning your desire, in my mind.
That's assault, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's battery. So, it's sexual battery. To me, that's not real skillful or artful. Basically, one part of owning your desire, and I think maybe the critical one for men, this is not, women get this much more than men do, that it is possible to enjoy feelings of strong desire and arousal for what they are. I think what often happens with men when they get really turned on is all they can think about is how to release that tension.
Mm.
And women, I think, as a whole, you'll hear women talk about how it was just so great. They were so turned on. They were so feeling so juicy and alive and luscious, and they were just dancing with it, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Men talk about blue balls.
Right, yeah. It's like, I don't want to feel this frustration or this tension.
Frustration, right. That's the word that men use. Frustration.
Yeah, it gets frustrating versus I'm just enjoying how much energy is flowing through my body right now.
Exactly. I think we as a culture have pleasure avoidance. And that's a lot of the work I do with men individually and in groups, is helping basically men to be able to hold higher and higher amounts of pleasurable energy in their body. Because I think most men have never been trained to do that. In fact, what they've trained themselves to do is to masturbate quickly so they won't get caught by their mom in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of just building to higher and higher states of arousal for hours maybe, or maybe weeks even, it just seems like crazy. Like, how can you do that? I mean, after like 20 minutes, you're just going to explode, aren't you?
Right.
Men have not learned how to really move that energy through their body and use it to really empower them and give them a sense of strength and vision and liveness throughout their whole lives.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I'm just getting the image of an iceberg. It's like most guys kind of play with the tip of that arousal, and then it's like, oh, I got to move it. Versus, wow, what you're saying is there's so much more depth. There's so much more that's available when we learn how to cultivate that arousal. There's more. We have more available to us in our lives.
Absolutely. I mean, sexual energy is life energy. It's what created all of us. And it is what drives us. I mean, Freud was onto something when he talked about libido being the energy of life and living. And if you can cultivate that and hold it and channel it and circulate it, as opposed to just trying to get rid of it, it's going to change the whole way you approach the world and your life and other people.
How so?
Because it's going to give you a sense of energy that you can apply elsewhere. Men are used to putting sexuality into this box, like, oh God, I'm feeling turned on, so I can't focus right now. Let me go get rid of this. Let me go masturbate real quickly so I can go to sleep, or I gotta get rid of this erection so I can get back to work.
Yeah, I'm getting that, like, sexual energy is a distraction.
Right. Instead of, wow, that's wonderful. Let me really savor that and use that and have that really motivate me and use that energy and channel it into the work I'm doing on my spreadsheet right now. Okay, that's a little bit trickier. That's a more advanced practice.
So if a guy he's out of touch with what turns him on, is that what's, and I'm thinking about all the ads that are out there for erectile dysfunction. How much of it is actually that just the machines, you know, the cogs and the wheels aren't working, or how much of it is it that the guy's just not turned on?
Yeah. You know, I think Viagra and the related drugs have really changed the sexual social landscape. I'm seeing so many guys in their early 20s, no physiological problems whatsoever, who are reliant on Viagra. And it is the best-selling drug in existence right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that allows guys to not have to look deep inside themselves. It supports a very mechanistic view of male sexuality. That good.
It provides the boner, but it doesn't necessarily, so the guy doesn't have to think about what really turns him on, or what are you saying there?
Exactly. That basically the guy doesn't need to look into, well, I wonder if there's a reason I'm not feeling desire, and I wonder if there's a reason I'm not getting hard with this person.
Mm.
You know, it's shockingly common. Well, I get somebody someone will come in as a patient, and they'll come in for erectile problems, and I'll start asking. They've been given Viagra, and it's still not working, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, I'll start asking them, you know, what's going on? And it's like, yeah, I can't ever, you know, get an erection with my wife, blah blah blah. And I'll keep, but I don't like, and that's like, I don't let it go. I keep talking to them, unlike their general practice. She just gave him Viagra, and he'll say, yeah, no, I can never get it with my wife. And I'm like, do you have sex with anyone else? Oh, yeah, I can always get boner with my girlfriend. OK, Okay, that is not a physiological problem. Okay, that is not something that should be treated with Viagra. This is a place to look inside yourself and ask yourself what's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, and who wants to look down the barrel of the gun that's I'd not aroused by my wife, and I'm
right.
You know, what am I going to do? Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. As opposed, but I mean, the good news is that it may be an incredible opening for both you and her and your relationship to really explore.
Yeah, say more about that.
Well, because it. What's your alternative? Your alternative is to take Viagra, or to kind of, basically dissociate. So when you're with your partner, you're not even with your partner. You're just thinking about how you're going to give yourself an erection. Who can you fantasize about? What can you fantasize about? You're not even there. So the sex you're having is just totally disconnected, and it's going to be ultimately unsatisfying for both of you.
Right.
It becomes very mechanistic. It's more like a sneeze because your nose is itching.
Okay.
And as opposed to this full-bodied experience, which is something else that men, very few men have an experience with, full-body orgasm. For most men, their orgasm starts and stops in their dick.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what it's like to feel an orgasm, to shudder and wave and pulse throughout your whole body for several minutes or hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most men's orgasms last 7 seconds. And think about how much time and effort and energy men spend on getting this 7-second orgasm.
Especially when you consider how much work they go to get the job, to get the 6-figure salary, to get
exactly.
the car, to pick up the chick, to get the...
But they do this all while not really knowing what they truly desire. So after a couple of years with the chick, they're not even having sex anymore.
Oh, man.
It's a sad, sad situation.
Oh, man.
And part of the reason men don't realize what orgasm can be goes back to the thing we were talking about a few minutes ago, because they don't even know what high arousal can be.
Mm.
That most, and this is true for men and women, and most men and women have rarely, if ever, had the experience of being really fully aroused when they have an orgasm. A woman requires anywhere between 20 and 40 minutes of intense sexual stimulation to get fully aroused.
Mm-hmm.
Most women don't have a lot of experience with having intense stimulation for 40 minutes
mm-hmm.
before they have an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they masturbate, most women don't masturbate that long.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not even talking psychologically, emotionally. I mean, physiologically, to get to maximal levels of arousal takes up to 40 minutes for women.
So I'm just getting like that our bodies, are built for, they have such a higher capacity for what's possible sexually, and most of us are playing in the lower percentile of what's possible, much mm-hmm. less when you bring in the emotional and the kind of the psychological arousal that goes along with it too.
And spiritual.
And spiritual. Say more about that. Sex is a spiritual act.
Absolutely. Well, it can be. It doesn't have to be. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about sex, is it can be so many things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a crucible where we can put so many different things into it. I mean, it can be purely something you're doing for reproductive purposes. It can be something you're doing as a release of tension. It can be something as a deep connection. And it can be a very strong spiritual practice. And many people will have a whole variety of different types of sex. Those people who are a little bit more aware of the different palette of possibilities sometimes might have different types of sex, even with the same
person.
Mm-hmm. And that gets back to the variety. And sometimes it's a nasty, down and dirty, you know, play with shadow stuff. Sometimes it's beautiful, soft, loving connection and holding. Sometimes it's a practice in seeing God,
mm-hmm.
Which is all possible through sexuality.
Mm-hmm. I just love how expansive it gets beyond just the mechanistic. Like you're the machine I use to get off.
Right.
Basically.
Right. I mean there are so many different routes to get to these states, whether it's meditation, you know, this is spiritual, to talk more about the spiritual connection, whether it's meditation or medicine journeys or whatever. Sex seems, because it's so primal, seems to be, for many people, a more direct route into this spiritual connection, of being more in touch with what is true in themselves, of what is true for them about the universe and their connections and things like that.
Is that, I'm going to challenge that, because I've been to a couple of these, I won't name names, but a couple of workshops that that were kind of centered around sex and spirituality. And I always wondered how many people were there just to really get off, but, you know, and not have to feel guilty about it. It's like, well, this is spiritual.
I agree with you. Again, sometimes it's really hard to tell, what David Data refers to as, first stage versus third stage, or Wilbur talks about it, and so many people talk about, and we were talking about in terms of, are you just being a narcissistic bastard, or are you really doing this because it's your deepest truth?
Right.
I think it's very easy to do something for totally selfish reasons and put a trapping of spirituality around it to make yourself feel better about
right.
it.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
It happens.
Yeah, there are so many guys that do tantra workshops who are just looking for an easy way to get laid.
Oh, well.
But that doesn't negate the potential power of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything really powerful, it can be used and misused in so many different ways.
Right, right. Well, so if I'm a guy and I'm in Lawrence, Kansas, and I'm, kind of struggling with the current kind of center of gravity around my sexual life and in those that I'm around, where do I get started? I mean, where do I get started? What books can I read, or workshops can I fly to, or how do I get out of this hole of what our culture has created around sex?
Right. Well, first thing you can do is move to Boulder or San Francisco. I think anyone who's listening to this right away is seriously ahead of the curve. I think a lot of men just go through their whole lives with this feeling of, is this really all my life is? But they don't really pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who's already sought out this is already starting on that path, and I really commend men who are doing that.
Okay.
I think one of the most important things is to get a sense of community. So finding other like-minded men, because I think men often feel that they feel a little weird about finding that kind of support from other men. I think some of that comes from feelings of homophobia or just not being, having had experience with that, with their own fathers or whatever. So, and if you're in, a small town in Kansas, as you said, it may be harder. Or you may need to seek out resources using the internet, for instance. Maybe there's an online group, and maybe they get together once a year. I know many groups like that. Maybe it is actually saving up and flying out for a workshop where there is one. Maybe it's getting some good books and starting to really think about this.
Yeah.
I think there's different. I don't think there's any one right way of doing it. And there are some many good solitary practices. I think solitary is limited. I think it can get you. I think you ultimately do need to do some of the stuff in connection with other people.
Yeah.
But I think there are good ways to start getting in touch with this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just getting go check out some books, get online, find some workshops. For me, I talk to so many guys that email us about this show. They're just, oh my God, I'm not alone. I'm not the only guy that's bumping up against these issues, and so much of the pressure is then relieved just knowing that they're not alone. So especially with the sexual stuff, which has so much shame and so much guilt, all that kind of stuff wrapped up around it.
Right.
Guys, you're not alone. There's a ton of resources. There's a ton of resources out there. Just start looking.
Absolutely. I think one of the things too that happened with some guys is if you look at where a lot of the sexual workshops and empowerment and books came from and who they were targeted at, they were originally, most of this work was targeted towards women. And so what you wind up having is some guys who said, yeah, I've done a couple of New Agey workshops, and it all kind of felt wimpy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've dissed all of it. And I think maybe in the last, I'd say 10 years, maybe even a little bit longer, but especially in the last five, there's been a resurgence of male culture that there is a way to get in touch with your emotions, to feel what you're feeling in your sexuality and get into a more spiritual place, but not in a feminine way, but in a strong masculine way.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I think that speaks to a lot of guys.
Yeah. I remember years ago kind of reading up on some stuff, and it just was like, this at the time it just felt really neutered to me, like, wow, that's really the future of my, that's what the future holds for me, is you know, this kind of neutered new agey thing. It was like, God, right. It just didn't fit with who I was, you know?
Right. Well, I think, especially around sexuality, where a lot of that came from is because so many women have a history of having their boundaries violated, of having trauma and abuse histories, that for most women, a feeling of feelings of safety are paramount.
Mm-hmm.
For them to be able to fully express their sexuality, they need to feel absolutely safe.
Right.
And so much of the work around sexuality for a long time there was about how men can create a feeling of absolute safety.
Mm-hmm.
And while that may be appropriate in certain situations or with certain partners or for certain periods of time, if that's the end game, boy, that's going to be really boring.
Yeah, no shit. I'm just thinking like, wow, in order for her to feel safe, I've got to leave my dick at the door.
Yeah. And ultimately, I don't think it's satisfying for women either.
No.
And I think it's being able to talk to your partner and feel into your partner and know when is safety the most important thing and when is passion, unbridled passion, going to really turn her on? When is letting her see my strong, healthy masculinity? I mean, that's the other problem is that all this stuff has like a negative shadow side. You know, masculinity can, that masculine energy can manifest in some pretty profoundly negative ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important that we as men really find the way to discern between the negative expressions and the more positive expressions, where men are able to do things like hold space and be powerful and create a sense of security because of their strength, as opposed to using that strength to invade and assault.
Absolutely. I was just thinking about that. I believe there was a time where I still exists, I'm sure, in certain cultures, but it's just like all masculine energy is bad energy. So we want to mm-hmm. get rid of that so then we're all safe. But it's just like, wow, we totally miss out on all the gifts that the masculine brings. And I'm not just speaking sexually. I'm speaking in all forms.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, how can we find out more about you, Shandor, the products that you have, and what you offer the world? Where do we go to learn more about what you've got?
Well, you can go to a lot of places. Let me just mention one, which would be to go to mypleasure.com. Mypleasure.com is a site that I founded 8 years ago, and it's really a resource for sexual health and wellness and education, and it's really devoted to helping men, women, and couples have the most satisfying, fulfilling sex lives possible. And we do that through articles, through questions and answers, through workshops, and through sales of different types of products.
Wonderful. Excellent. Well, Shandor, anything else before we wrap it up?
No, just I want to wish all the men out there listening to this really good luck with all this and really commend them for even taking this step, because this is challenging stuff, and really hats off for listening to this. And I guess one cautionary thing is we've been talking a lot about all that is possible in sexuality for men, and I just want to caution, men have a tendency to beat themselves up when they're not where they want to be. This is not yet another performance. This is not yet another goal that, oh my God, I'm lesser than, I'm not whole, I'm not worthy. This is just showing you how wide the palette is so that you can make decisions around what directions you might want to go. It's showing you the possibilities, but it's not about really telling you this is the way you should be, because that's just going backwards again.
Great catch. I appreciate that. Nothing's worse than being in bed and thinking like, wow, I could have been doing that. There's so much more, and it just ruins
right.
it versus just enjoying yourself.
Exactly. That's the key learning right there.
Good catch. Thanks, Shandor. Well, man, I'm just so glad we finally got a chance to do this. I love hanging out with you. I love seeing you, and I'm just so glad you're on the show. I want to have you back soon, and we'll dig up some more stuff and share some more with the men.
Thanks so much, Tripp.
All right, Shandor, I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Visit thenewmanpodcast.com or tripplanier.com and tell us what you'd like to hear on The New Man. Thanks for listening.